What would you say if someone asked you to explain the Trinity? Would you begin with Scripture, the creeds, or some clever analogy? And how are Christ and the gospel at the center of this fundamental Christian teaching? Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Beckwith has written a new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic series. It's titled The Holy Trinity. You can save $5 by pre-ordering The Holy Trinity at logia.org, logia.org. The final stanza of the hymn, In Holy Conversation, that stanza drawn from the 24th verse of Isaiah 65, where God says, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. We're going to be going into Isaiah 65 in our series, Christ in the Old Testament, talking about God's judgment and salvation. It's an interesting chapter. It talks about a rather idyllic world, certainly not something in the world we experience around us. What is Isaiah talking about? Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us on this Thursday afternoon. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here, Todd.
In a general sense, what is Isaiah talking about? When is Isaiah talking about in this 65th chapter?
Well, whenever we look at passages like chapter 65, you always want to kind of look back at the previous chapters and see the flow. What is the conversation and what's the way that it's going? And so when you look at Isaiah chapter 64, you have all these questions that are being brought up, this idea that you have a conversation with God, whether this is Isaiah himself or in the person of Isaiah, these are other people that have these questions and they're calling out to God for answers. And so chapter 64 ends on this note where you're kind of having this conversation. You say, we're the clay, right? And you're the potter, right? We are all the work of your hands, right? Right? Isn't this correct? Well, then if this is the case, Yahweh, then why are you so terribly angry? Remember not our iniquity forever, because we are all your people, right? I mean, this is kind of the conversation, these questions that are being put out to God. And then you end at the last verse there in chapter 64, where it says, will you restrain yourself at these things, O Yahweh? Will you keep silent and afflict us so terribly? These are the questions that are being put out in the previous chapter. And of course, chapter 64 opens with that line, oh, that you would rend the heavens and you would come down, that you would act. And so chapter 65 is, in essence, a response to these questions that are put forth in chapter 64. Aren't we all your people? Why are these problems happening to us? And this is where 65 opens up, where God responds and says, hey, I was ready to be sought by those who did not even ask for me, and I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. And I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name, and I spread out my hands all the day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good. And so this is the response of God here to these questions that you have at the tail end of chapter 64. And God is making a distinction here between earthly Jerusalem that will not listen to his word. They act as if they seek God, but they do not. And the contrast is to heavenly Jerusalem, which is consists of the true believers. And that's why when you look at Isaiah 65, right at the very beginning, you're talking about the conversion of the Gentiles. Paul will pick up on this in chapter 10 of Romans, where Paul will quote from this. And when Paul is right on the tail end of chapter 9 of Romans, when Paul is actually using that imagery of a potter and the clay. And so Isaiah and Paul are tracking in the same direction, that God is the one who seeks people who aren't even looking for him, because the people who should be looking for him, who have his word, they don't. They don't care. They don't want to listen. They don't have ears to hear. And so Paul will specifically talk about Isaiah 65 in the direction of the conversion of the Gentiles, that this is the people, the nation that is called by God's name. These are the ones who weren't even seeking after God, but God is the one who sought after them, that God was found by those Gentiles who didn't even have God's word. And so all of this is coming on the tail end of these questions at the end of chapter 64, asking about, will you restrain yourself at these things, O Yahweh? Will you keep silent and afflict us so terribly? And so you want to make a distinction between earthly Jerusalem and heavenly Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem, of course, is the righteous remnant, those who are justified by faith, who hear the word, who've been converted by the power of the gospel that the Holy Spirit is working in them. So this is kind of the tail end of the entire book of Isaiah, because he opens up in chapter 1 saying that, you know, I have these sons who will not listen, but the heavens and the earth, they'll listen, and of course, the Gentiles will listen. Well, when he's talking about heavens and earth and chapter 1, now he's talking about a new creation, a new heavens and earth, where you will have sheep that listen to the shepherd. And that's what he is seeking after, is he's seeking after people to bring them in the fold that will listen to him, that will be his new creation.
So let's talk about that new creation. And, well, I mean, how could you not find Christ in the new creation?
Yeah, and so when you talk about creation, old creation, of course, you have right in the very beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. And when we talk of God, we're talking the language of Elohim, this Hebrew word that's a plural, which teaches a distinction of the plurality of the persons of the Holy Trinity, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all present in the beginning, creating, bringing forth life. And right when Isaiah is talking about this, this is this creation. He's saying, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Things will be different. Before, you had life, but then sin entered in, and death was the result. Now, sin will be removed and death will be destroyed. So this is the language of the new heavens, the new earth that God himself will create. And this is the language of creating, this Hebrew word bara, is only what God does. Mankind can do things like they can make, they can form, they can shape, they can build, but they can't create in this Hebrew sense of this word bara. This is something unique to God. Only God can do this, and only God can recreate. So Isaiah 65 and 66, the last chapters of the entire book, are ending on this, the results of the incarnation, the one who comes, the one that we're waiting for, God's salvation, who is Emmanuel, who is God with us. He takes upon flesh and blood in order to restore the corrupted human nature. And the results will be a new heavens and a new earth. So you have this in both chapter 65, and it will be reiterated in chapter 66, where once again he says, for as the new heavens and the new earth that I will make shall remain before me, says Yahweh, so shall your offspring and your name remain. So the offspring, of course, are children. These are the sons of God by adoption, by grace, who are believers, who are born again, born above from the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about a new birth, a new life. And all of this, of course, is fulfilled in Christ. This is picked up in the New Testament, specifically in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul will give us this incredible line that he says, therefore, because of the incarnation, because of the death and the resurrection of Christ, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And so this is the language that Paul will use there in his second letter to the baptized in Corinth. So those who have been united in the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, and even into his ascension. They are a new creation, and because you're a new creation, there is no condemnation. And of course, Paul will pick up on this same language in Galatians chapter 6 when he talks about the new creation. But what's unique about Galatians 6, coming on the tail end of his discussion on baptism and the curse, which we'll get to eventually in this conversation, but what he says in Galatians chapter 6 is that it's neither circumcision that counts for anything, nor is it uncircumcision, but what counts is a new creation. And this is tied to this passage here in chapter 65 of Isaiah when he's talking about the conversion of the Gentiles, that these people who were not seeking for him, God sought after because he comes to seek and to save the lost. And of course, all of us by nature are pagans in our own hearts. So we are all enemies of God, and we are all running away from God, and we are all dead in our own sins and transgressions. But God is the one who comes to bring things new. He comes to restore that which has been corrupted. And this is the whole language here that you'll see in the incarnation. This is what Christ does to bring things new. And of course, Peter will pick up on this in his second letter to the baptized in chapter 3 when he says that according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And so Peter is giving us this understanding that it's still a promise that we cannot see with our own eyes, for we won't see it with our own eyes until we see it with our own resurrected eyes on the last day when we are raised to newness of life, completely, fully manifest in our own bodies, so that sin no longer clings to us and death no longer rules and reigns over us. And so Peter is trying to encourage the baptized and saying that we are anticipating that day when there will be no more death. There will be no more weeping, no more distress, no more mourning, no more sin. None of this will be a problem. And of course, this is the image that John sees in his revelation, because all of these, the prophets and the apostles are showing us the vision of the kingdom of Christ, what he comes to bring. And John will tell us in Revelation chapter 21, he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." And in that same chapter 21, he goes on to say that the one who is seated on the throne, of course, is God and the Lamb. And the Lamb says, "Behold, I am making all things new." And this is what he does in the incarnation, that he comes to give to us the forgiveness of sins. He takes our sins away, and then he bestows his own righteousness upon us, and then pours out the Holy Spirit into us, so that we become these new people, the new people of God, and we are being made and restored and rebuilt for this new Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We'll take a break. We're doing our series, Christ in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 65. When we come back, finding Christ in the creation of the New Jerusalem. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Paul's Lutheran, Coleman, Alabama. Faith Lutheran, Waterloo, Iowa. Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington. Lake George Lutheran Chapel, Fremont, Indiana. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington. Faith Lutheran, Buford, South Carolina. Trinity Lutheran, Great Falls, Montana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Westview, Pennsylvania. St. Paul Lutheran, International Falls, Minnesota. Redeemer Lutheran, Marshalltown, Iowa. Trinity and Grace Lutheran, Bear Creek, Wisconsin. St. Paul Lutheran, Sevierville, Tennessee. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Sherman, Illinois. And Zion Lutheran, Dexter, Iowa. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. The Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament. We're in Isaiah chapter 65. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Brian, let's talk about seeing Christ in the creation of a new Jerusalem.
Well, this is where we want to make this distinction very clear when we talk about Jerusalem in Isaiah or any of the prophets for that matter, because they will flip-flop back and forth in this conversation. One moment we're talking about earthly Jerusalem that will pass away. And in the next moment, we're talking about the promises of heavenly Jerusalem that is eternal. Earthly Jerusalem, of course, is the unrepentant unbelievers, the apostates who refuse to listen to God's words, resist the work of the Holy Spirit. Whereas heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, see, this is the understanding here, the old Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians, but now we are anticipating a new Jerusalem. But that promise is not fulfilled fully in the rebuilding of Jerusalem under the return from Babylon, when you have Cyrus rise up in 538 of the Persians, and he allows the Israelites to go back to earthly Jerusalem. All this fulfillment is not in earthly Jerusalem, that we're trying to wait for an earthly kingdom, but we're waiting for a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom that comes by the preaching of God's word. It's the kingdom that only Christ can bring. And here we talk this new creation language, and now we're talking about recreating Jerusalem. So this is a new Jerusalem in verse 18, in which you will be glad and rejoice forever in the thing that I create. And what is it? I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be gladness. Now, in the book of Revelation, again, the Apostle John picks up on this whole language of Isaiah because he's seeing the same vision, the vision of the kingdom of Christ and what this means and how it's portrayed to him. He is a seer, and so he's telling us what he sees. And in Revelation chapter 3, he uses the language saying, the voice of Jesus actually speaking, saying that the one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem. So Jesus will use that language in Revelation chapter 3, and then it's picked up later on in Revelation chapter 21, again, where he's seeing this new creation, the new heavens and the new earth. He goes on to say, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." So this is heavenly Jerusalem. This is eternal Jerusalem. This is the one that consists of all the believers, where God himself dwells in the midst of his people. Again, incarnational language. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And all of this goes back to the chapter 40 in Isaiah, which is kind of like we've said before, Isaiah volume 2. This is after they are in exile in Babylon, that's earthly Jerusalem, that they're given the promises of something that's better, the true Jerusalem. And it's at chapter 40 where you have comfort. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God, and you speak tenderly to Jerusalem, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and she's now received double for all her sins, this double blessing. And of course, in chapter 40 of Isaiah, we know that one well, where you go up on a high mountain, "O Zion, the herald of good news, O Jerusalem, the herald of good news." So this is New Jerusalem that we're talking about here. And Isaiah will use this kind of juxtaposition of you have Old Jerusalem and New Jerusalem back in Isaiah chapter 2, when he also talks about the language of the holy mountain, the place where God dwells in the midst of his people to make them holy. And this is God's kingdom. And you have the earthly kingdoms, the Gentiles, the nations, who will come up to this mountain of God that's higher than all the other mountains. But it's in Isaiah chapter 2 that out of Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. So that's the transition from earthly Jerusalem to heavenly Jerusalem, from old Jerusalem that would not listen to God, that died in their sins, and new Jerusalem, which consists of those who hear the words of Jesus, who believe and are in Christ, and they're a new creation, and there is no condemnation.
What about Christ, you say, in the removal of weeping and distress?
Yeah, so in this passage, as you continue to move on, that we're talking about the new creation. And what does this new Jerusalem look like? Well, the people will rejoice. They will be glad. And in particular, there will no longer be the sound of weeping or the cry of distress. Now, I love to study these words in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament prophets, because what you always want to do is you want to kind of take these words and look back to Moses in the Torah, the five books of Moses, and try to see where was Moses using these words? Where was the vocabulary? Where was the foundational starting point for such terms? Because what the prophets are doing is they're expanding the commentary on those five books of Moses that all talk about the promise of the coming Christ and his kingdom, that in Christ alone do we have victory over the devil, because he's going to be the seed of the woman that will crush the devil's head, and he will give us forgiveness, and he will return and give us life. And so when you look back at the books of Moses and you look for the understanding of the sound of weeping, well, this comes up in Deuteronomy 34, in particular at the end of Deuteronomy when Moses dies, so that the people are weeping at Moses' death. In fact, this is taking place for a period of 30 days, the days of the weeping and mourning of Moses then was ended at this point, so that you have a tie-in to the weeping and to death. This is what happens when you have a loved one who dies, especially somebody like Moses, who was proclaiming God's promises. The promises all fulfilled in Christ, and that Moses said that one like him will rise up, and that's the one we're to listen to, which, of course, is Christ. And so here the people are weeping at the death of Moses, but they're looking forward. Like we've said many times before, Genesis starts with life. God creates life. God is life. But it ends on the note of death. You have the death of Jacob. You have the death of Joseph. Well, Deuteronomy, the last book of Moses, ends on death, the death of Moses. We know that there's more to the story, and so we're waiting for the fulfillment of the promises, where there is no longer any weeping. And then this terminology of the distress, the crying out in distress, this is the language that Moses will use back in Genesis 18 when he's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, that there's this outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah. It is great. This is this distress of the people because it's chaotic. Sin is just ruling and reigning amongst those people. And in fact, Isaiah himself will pick up on that theme of Sodom and Gomorrah at the very beginning in chapter 1 when he's calling old Jerusalem like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a city no different than those people. But then you have that promise that unless God left us a remnant, this small group of believers, then we would have been just like Sodom and Gomorrah, destined to death and condemnation and no life at all. But instead, God has given us his promise, and there's this remnant. There is new Jerusalem that listens and hears, and no longer will there be the sound of weeping at death, and no longer will there be the cry of distress because of sin. And when you get to Revelation chapter 21, in the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, this is where John is telling us he sees that at this point, at the resurrection of the body, when all of this is made manifest to our own eyes, then he will wipe away every tear from everyone's eyes. That death shall be no more. There won't be any mourning. There will be no crying. There will be no pain. All these former things have passed away. This is the understanding of the old has passed away and the new has come. And in Christ we have the promise of being a new creation with no condemnation.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to Redeemer Theological Academy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We'll be right back.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
God lays out for us in Scripture our need for salvation in the law and the assurance that Jesus has saved us in the gospel.
Dr. Carl Fakencher talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's the way God communicates to us in every page of Scripture, and therefore it's vital that we have been given this gift of history, an understanding of law and gospel, make it a centerpiece in the way we speak law and gospel, the way we speak God's word to people today.
You can meet and hear Dr. Carl Fakencher making the case for law and gospel Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a story that begins tragically, ends, well, in really in this the spreading of the gospel. It begins with a man who is a prison guard in a Texas state penitentiary and participates in over 150 executions in that capacity, and then ends as a Lutheran pastor. The book is called The Executioner's Redemption, My Story of Violence, Death, and Saving Grace. You can find out more about it right there at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website. Or you can order The Executioner's Redemption, The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're doing our series, Christ in the Old Testament in Isaiah 65. Pastor Ketchelmeyer, let's talk about finding Christ in the reversal of the curse.
Again, when we look at the prophets, we want to understand the prophets as commentators on the words of Moses. So we want to look back at Moses and see the continuity, that Moses gives us the promise of the Christ, and then the prophets just continue to clarify this promise and to reiterate it, using the same pictures, the same imagery, and then, of course, adding additional imagery to help us understand correctly. And when you talk this language of an infant that's dying, you talk about building houses, you talk about vineyards. See, so what Isaiah is saying, in the new heavens and the new earth, here's what's going to happen. No more shall there be an infant who lives but a few days. This is that language of death. And or an old man who does not fill out his days. Or he talks this language of they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit, and they shall not plant and another eat. Well, this is a direct reversal of the covenant curse that you have back in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Because Moses had warned the people that if you do not listen to the Lord your God and you desire to seek after false gods, then he will give you to these false gods. But notice that these false gods are not true. They cannot give life, and so you will die in your sin. And in Deuteronomy 28 specifically, you have the curses that your city will be cursed. Now here we have a reversal. Here's this new city, this new Jerusalem that he is recreating. In the covenant curses in Deuteronomy 28, the fruit of your womb will be cursed. But now here we have this promise that there shall not be an infant who lives but just a few days, or one who is born for calamity. Or back in these curses, you have the understanding that you will build a house, but somebody else is going to dwell in it. And you're going to plant a vineyard, and somebody else is going to come and enjoy the fruit. You're not even going to eat it yourself. But here's a reversal. So now in the new heavens, the new creation, you're going to build a house, and you're going to be able to live in it. Nobody else is going to take it over. You're going to plant a vineyard, and you're going to be able to enjoy it. And then, of course, this whole language is about eating, too, and drinking, which is in Isaiah 65. He says that in the curse, because you did not serve Yahweh your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, because of the abundance of all these things, therefore you shall go and serve your enemies whom Yahweh will send against you, and it will be in hunger and it will be in thirst. But in the reversal of this curse here in chapter 65, Isaiah will say back at verses 13 and 14, behold, my servants shall eat. My servants shall drink. My servants shall rejoice, and my servants shall sing for gladness of heart. So all of this is the reversal of the curse. And that curse, of course, is seen in death. It's because of sin. Even the language of building houses, I think that this is phenomenal, because the idea is you're not going to need to build graves or tombs. You're not going to have to dig something in the ground, because that's where you're going to go, because you're going to live. Death will be no more. But this can only happen if we have the incarnation. And this is what Paul gets to in Galatians chapter 3, where he says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law.
About 20 seconds here, Brian.
By becoming a curse for us. And cursed is everyone who is hung on the tree. And so this is what Christ came to do, that we might be blessed in Abraham and have that blessing, and it might come to the Gentiles too.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thanks again.
It's great to be here, Todd.
Coming up next on Lutheran Talk Radio 24/7, today the church observes 16th century artists Lucas Cranach and Albrecht Dürer, and we'll have Dr. Gene Edward Veith talk about the Reformation and the visual arts. That's next at Lutheran Talk Radio 24/7, issuesetc.org, and on the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Well, of course the curse is reversed, because the curse that we brought upon ourselves, which ruined this old creation, that rendered this creation old even while it was brand new, has been removed by a new creation, the incarnate God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. He has taken the curse upon himself, the curse of all of Adam's children, and removed it from us and from the whole universe. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Divine Service is where Christians gather around word and sacrament. We join together to receive God's gifts in the liturgy. But do you know the meaning behind what we do? There's a book called Ceremony and Celebration that explains Lutheran liturgical worship. Find out more and read book excerpts online at emmanuelpress.us. E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us. You'll find answers to your liturgical questions in Ceremony and Celebration, emmanuelpress.us.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.